Let us greet the people next to us. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And today's title is In Christ. And we read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And last week was from verses 3 to 7. But we'd like to look at verses 1 through 7 once again. And if you look in the Old New Testament, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But that was not written in that order. And if you get Paul's letters, there's 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians. And the Bible is ordered that way, but it was not written according to that order. It was written with a theme, with the specific order, not the date it was written. And from last week, we have been looking at the entirety of the book of Ephesians. And the letter of Ephesians is a letter written to the church in Ephesus. A letter written to the church in Ephesus. And this church of Ephesus is very important. If you look at Acts chapter 19, it was the core church that proclaimed the gospel to the entirety of Asia, the region of Asia. This is a core church. This is a core church for the sake of Asia evangelization. And Paul was on his third mission trip. And on his third mission trip, he raised the church in Ephesus. In Acts 19, verse 8, Paul spoke about the things pertaining to God's kingdom. And after that, there was great persecution. But that's when he separately calls his disciples. And in verse 9, for 2 years, he continued to teach and proclaim about the things pertaining to God's kingdom. And in verse 10, starting with Ephesus, the gospel and the word of Christ spread throughout the entire region of Ephesus and Asia. And everyone heard about the word pertaining Jesus Christ. In other words, at the Church of Ephesus arose the evangelism movement. And so Ephesus, the Church of Ephesus was the center for the evangelism movement in the region of Asia. And in verse 11 through 19, for 2 years, they continued to proclaim the gospel in the region of Ephesus and Asia, and everyone heard it. That God works so much. That the works of healing took place. Because just by, you know, seeing the handkerchief and, you know, waving it, people were healed of spiritual diseases. And wherever Paul went and proclaimed the gospel, the forces of darkness crumbled. And the word of God spread throughout the region. And in verse 20, all right, they come to conclusion that they gained strength, they gained power as the word of God was upon the church of Ephesus. Right, the power of God's word is amazing. That breaks down all the forces of darkness And it heals people and brought people to salvation. And so the gospel spread and it grew in power. And they were clothed in what? They were clothed in God's power. And clothed in God's word. And inside God's word, there's power and strength. So no matter what spiritual problems you have, if you truly understand the word of God, because the word of God is power, it will heal all your spiritual aspects. And you must believe that God will heal you. And God did these amazing works. And how much power was there in God's word? That it was a region filled with idol worshippers. But they threw away their idols and returned to the Lord. And was saved. And that's the power of God's word. On the way to church today, because the coronavirus is really, you know, is becoming calm, that's why you see the spiritual problems of Japan are rising, and that's the matsuris, and the Japanese people are preparing for the matsuris. Because the coronavirus is, you know, sort of fading, you see people prepare for the festivals. You have to believe that there is power in God's word, and whenever you proclaim the word of God, you must believe that their spiritual problems will be healed. And nothing else can heal them. Your confession of faith or your past experiences cannot heal it. Only the living word of God can heal them. Because the word of God gained strength. When they proclaimed and testified the word of God, the evil spirits fled, people who had disease were healed. And when they testified the word of God, people with spiritual problems were healed and returned to the Lord. They threw away their idolatry and turned to the Lord. And these works of God's word took place continuously. But from verses 23 to 40, right, on one side, through Paul and his Byzantine team, they proclaimed the word of God and to the power of God's word. They healed many people and brought many people to salvation, and the events movement was taking place. But from verse 23 to 40, you see that there was a minority of people who grew up to stop the gospel. And these people will arise. When you proclaim the correct gospel, Satan will not leave you alone. And there will be those who will persecute you. And it's not just one or two people. The people in Ephesus who lost their jobs because they're making idols, they stood up and began a riot to prevent the gospel from spreading. But if you look at these people who prevented the gospel, they're the ones who were in a loss because of the gospel. Right? These fortune tellers, these shamans, if everyone believes in God, then they lose their jobs. That's why they started to persecute. But what does Paul confess in Acts 20, verse 21? That's when Paul says, I must see Rome as well. And that's when he starts to see Rome, when there's persecution. I must see Rome as well. And he went to Rome and he testified the gospel. And all of this is taking place in the region of Ephesus. And Paul wrote this letter to the church of Ephesus, but Paul wrote it in the prison in Rome. He says, I must see Rome as well, and he went to Rome. And he is right now in prison waiting to talk to Caesar for the last trial. But while he was in prison, he wrote this letter and sent it to the church of Ephesus. And Paul was in prison for 2 years. But he held on to the covenant of Rome evangelization. He continued to pray. And he wrote this letter. And he started to send it to each church. And you see that the letter that he wrote to the church of Ephesus was the prison letters, because he wrote in prison. And there's four letters that he wrote in prison. The book, the letter to Ephesians and Colossians. In Philemon. And Philippians. We call these the prison letters, or letters he wrote in prison. And while he is in trial before Caesar, he writes these three letters of Ephesus, Colossians, and Philemon. And he sends it to Tychicus so that he can give it to the churches. But if you look at these churches, they had many problems inside the church. And to give answers to these problems, he wrote these letters to Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. I'm sorry, it's the opposite. The Colossians, Philemon, and Philippians were letters sent to the churches because they had so many problems and hardship. And so Paul heard of those problems in prison, and so he wrote a solution or answer to them through a letter. But if you look at the book of Ephesians, he did not write a letter to the church of Ephesus because they had problems. But like I mentioned earlier, they were the core church for events and movements in the region of Asia. And so Paul gave answers to other letters, but instead of writing, but in the book of Ephesians, Paul didn't write it to give answers to the church of Ephesus. Instead, because there was events and movement taking place in the region of Ephesus, Paul wrote a message regarding the church, right? The importance of the church. And so Paul writes a letter regarding the church to the region of Ephesus. And so the book of Ephesus is about the church. What is the church? And who gathers in the church? And a church must evangelize. A church must do missions. A church must do worldly evangelization. A church must do spiritual fights. And there's only six chapters, but there's great messages inside the book of Ephesians. And while the other three letters written in prison were written to give answers to the church who had problems, but the church was doing well in Ephesus. That's why he wrote a letter regarding what the church is. And so please remember that. Because the church is very important, he gave a very important message to them. And if you understand the book of Ephesians, then you understand the other three books and the importance of it. And because all of you are important, God is giving you the message of Ephesus to you. Because you're very important. And we must arise as events and movements. And as a church, we must save the age. And it's a very important message for the important church. Because it's the core church for evangelism. As Paul wrote these letters and sent them to Tychicus to send it to three other churches because there are problems in the church, on the way he said, also take this letter to Ephesus about the church. Now let's go to main content. What are the blessings that God has granted us? What's the blessing God has given to me? This is what Paul says. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. You see his greetings. And Paul would always start his letter by greeting himself to the church in Christ. And what was his first words? It says praise. He says, praise be to God the Father. It doesn't mean just saying something and praise something. You know, there's something that you feel when you see someone's writing or what they say. You know, when you hear someone talk, you know, oh, those are happy words, or those people are saying because they're sad, or, you know, you feel something by what they say. In the same way, if you look at the letter that Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, you know, we know that he is imprisoned in writing this letter. But it doesn't feel like he is in prison. It feels like he is in peace. It feels like he is happy writing this letter. And he really enjoyed the gospel. Right? He is in prison as he is facing trial before King, before Caesar, and he is about to die. Right? He is in prison right now. But his first words was, praise be to God. No matter what situation, position, or place you are in, all of you who have the gospel every single day, I bless you in Jesus Christ, you praise the Lord. You must praise. You don't praise because things work out. Right? Paul is right now in the crisis where he is about to face death, but even then he says, praise be to the Lord God our Father. So no matter the situation you are in, if you are a saved child of God, you must praise the Lord. Right, there's a praise saying that even if I have 10,000 lips, those 10,000 lips will confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a person named John Wesley, and he wrote this, that he was so thankful for salvation that if I had 10,000 mouth, then all those mouths would confess that Jesus is the Lord. And he was moved by the thanksgiving of salvation. And usually our thanksgiving fits the condition, the criteria. In other words, when things go well and when things go the way we want it to, then we give thanks. And Paul is in a position where he has to die because he's imprisoned. But he's, the first words he said was, praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. And what's the content of his praise? What is he praising about? Right, he has called us to give us every spiritual blessing in Christ. And he prays about this. Right, although I'm in prison, although I'm facing death, although I'm in crisis, right, I have already received all the spiritual blessings in Christ. And that's what he praised. And please restore this faith. Right, I have received the greatest blessings. And he confessed this. And in verse 4, He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight, in love. Right? He chose us. He chose us so that we will not be blameless. And He chose us before creation. And that's what He praised. And in verse 5, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. According to His will, He called us as children of God. Right? He predestined us for adoption to sonship, to become a child of God. And so our thanksgiving should be these true, genuine thanksgiving, these spiritual thanksgiving. Not thankful because things go well or not. That's not genuine. That's not spiritual. And I bless in Jesus Christ, you restore the spiritual thanksgiving. And in verse 6, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. Now, God has saved us by His grace. He gave us grace, so we don't have to repay anything, and we can't repay anything. What must you do to solve your sin problems? How can you repay? And what can you do to solve your spiritual problems? What can you do to, you know, be free from sin, Satan, and hell? Without any debt, without any repayments, you must believe that God has saved you by His own grace. And so Paul is thankful of all these spiritual blessings, even in prison. That's why he says, praise the Lord, to give me this spiritual, every spiritual blessing in Christ, that He chose me before creation, He predestined me, and called me as His child, and has given me the grace that cannot be repaid. And he confessed that he is inside this spiritual blessing. And you must believe that this is the true, genuine spiritual blessing. And then verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. How can we solve this sin problem? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, it must be that He has forgiven you. You have to enjoy this spiritual blessing. And Paul was enjoying this spiritual blessing every single moment. That even if he was facing trial before Caesar, and he's the moment before he's going to be martyred, right? Even though he is in prison, his writing does not seem like he's in prison. Instead, it seems like he is, in a sense, a world evangelization and writing a letter and sending the letters to Tychicus so he can send it to the churches. But please enjoy this blessing. People who receive these spiritual blessings will naturally receive the blessings on earth. But we usually think of the opposite. We think our walk of faith will do well when we first receive the physical blessings, but that's not true. Paul was not like that. Those who enjoy the spiritual blessings will also receive the physical blessing. That's what he confessed. And that's the order. That's the spiritual order that God has granted us. But even children in this world, as they see their children, as they see their parents suffer and work hard but don't have any answers, they're already imprinted with the physical things. They're imprinted with the thought that you have to first have the physical things, you have to do well physical things, then you can live and do something in this world because you have those physical things. I have to change that thought. No matter what situation, hardship, and difficulty that you are in, the blessing that you must receive is the spiritual blessing, is every spiritual blessing in heaven. You have to enjoy this. And when you enjoy this, then the God will grant you the physical things to you. And it will follow you. And so I bless in Jesus Christ, you enjoy this blessing. If you cannot meet God, you cannot solve your sin problem. And how can you receive blessings if you cannot solve the problems of your sin? Even if you do well physically, you know the end. How can you solve the problems of Satan with the physical things? And how can we meet God with the physical things that we have? You cannot. That's why in Christ, God has given to us every spiritual blessing in Christ. And a blessing to Jesus Christ, enjoy this blessing. And God does everything in Christ. God promised He'll give us all the blessing in Christ. To do well in this world, you need to receive the blessing that comes from God. Why? Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. We were created in the image of God. To man and woman, God promised He will bless them. After He created man and woman in His own image, He blessed them. And they received that blessing, and after that they rule and conquer and subdue. It's the greatest blessing that you have met God, and that enjoyment is a blessing. And praising God with this blessing is also another blessing. And because you are with God, God will also fill you with the physical blessings as well. So please enjoy this blessing. But this blessing was taken away in Genesis chapter 3 and 6 and 11. And the moment we separated from God, right, we lost all the blessings. And we have to live in a world that is cursed by God. The land is cursed by God. There's weed and all these, you know, where there's. And no matter how much people develop this world and develop the society, God's judgment will come upon them, just like Noah's incident. Even if you're successful, you're going to be judged at the very end, and you're going to perish for eternity, and that's not a blessing. And God blesses Noah and his family so that they can live with God again, but they lose hold of God and God's covenant once again. And they think he can be successful without God, and they diligently live and try to be successful. But like Tower of Babel, it will collapse. And so a world without God, even if they seem like it's a utopia, it will completely collapse. And that's the world that we are living in. That's why in Christ, you have to believe that God has already given you this spiritual blessing, and you have already received this. And God gave us a solution to solve this problem. God has given us the method to solve my problem, my family problem, my business problem, my work problem, and that's Genesis 3, verse 15. I will send the offspring of woman, and you will come and crush the serpent's head, and he will free you. And when you are freed, then you will also restore the blessings that is in Christ Jesus. And God gave this blessing to us. That's why in Christ, God planned to save us and predestined us to be saved before creation in Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has called us out of darkness and moved us to the kingdom of God. We have been moved to God's kingdom as we were freed from darkness. He called us out of darkness and moved us to His light, to His kingdom. And so you have already received this amazing spiritual blessing from God. So please enjoy this. Then let's look at the believers in Christ. The believers in Christ. And the blessings. If you look at Paul, right, he's very, high level. To give us his message, I mean, he understands the depth. And it's not that he's living in a very comfortable place. It's not like he's very successful position and he's giving this message. Paul is right now imprisoned in Rome. And he is waiting to be, waiting for trial to be Caesar. But it was already set for Paul to be killed by the Roman officials. And in front of that crisis, if you look at Paul, he's not worried about that. Instead, he's focusing and emphasizing more about the spiritual blessings that God has given to us in Christ Jesus. And that's the blessing of the church. Not the church building. You are the church. You are the temple of God. And love your temple of God. Then what spiritual blessing must you first receive and enjoy? And that's what's important. Please be victorious. It looks like Paul is imprisoned in Rome. But Paul does not see himself imprisoned in Rome. He says he is the one in Christ. He says, in Christ. I am in Christ, not in prison. And he says this amazing thing. Now, we think we're in prison, but he doesn't say that. He says, I am in Christ. And may you give this confession of faith. In other words, Paul understood his current address. Where's my current address? And where's your current address? For me, it's Minami Senju, 6373. That's my home address. But no, spiritually, I'm in Christ. Where's your current address? Is it in problem, in incidents, in prison? In suffering or facing death, is that the situation that you are in? That's not your current address. All of you receive this amazing spiritual blessing. It's okay if I die right now. It's okay if I live. It's okay if I face trial or not. It's okay if I'm in prison or not in prison. It does not matter because wherever I am in Christ. Those who enjoy this mystery are the ones enjoying the spiritual blessings. They're the ones who enjoy every blessing in Christ. And so it seems like he is in the prison. But Paul understood that this prison was not just a prison, but it's a place for him to receive answers. It's a place for him to send a letter to all the churches with the gospel that he organized, with the gospel that he truly enjoys. And it's a field, an opportunity to proclaim the message to these people. And it's the letters he wrote in prison. When you enjoy the spiritual blessing, you can change your spiritual atmosphere. And you need to gain that spiritual strength every single day. Nothing else. It's not the visible strength. And how can Paul be free from prison? Inside the environment, inside the disaster like prison, he is not trapped by prison. Instead, he always confesses he is in Christ. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, that's why he confesses, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Even I am in prison, God gives me strength right now, and with this I can do worldly evangelization. And he enjoyed this spiritual blessing. And in any situation, I am in Christ. And the book of Ephesians is the book that has the most in Christ written. There's only 6 chapters, but it says in Christ more than any other Bible. And Paul continues to write in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And it is written more than any other Bibles. And that's what Paul wrote. And if you are in Christ, it is over. There's nothing to worry, there's nothing to fear, there's nothing to be oppressed, nothing to be anxious about. When you are in Christ, God promised that he has given to us the blessing in heaven and on earth. And so truthfully, the person who truly enjoys this is the person who understands the gospel. Those who can enjoy this in any situation is the person who understands the gospel. So may you enjoy this blessing. Look at Joseph. He was also in prison in Genesis 39, verse 2. But it says the Lord was with Joseph, that the Lord, you know, made him prosper. And so in Joseph, he enjoyed the mystery that God was with him. He enjoyed the mystery inside Christ. Same with David. Right, King Saul tries to kill David, but what does David say in Psalm 23, verse 1? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A man who is running away, who is nothing, he is the one who's saying, I don't need anything. And in verse 5, he says, because God will free me from the hands of the enemy. And he has filled me with his oil, and I'm filled with his grace. Even in crisis, even facing death by King Saul, he confessed, the Lord is with me, so I should not want. And instead, because God has anointed me, I'm filled with his grace. He truly enjoyed the gospel. And enjoying this life, if you continue this life, the situation that you're in right now, it will all turn into blessings and answers, and everything will be restored. No matter what situation you are in, do not try to use your head and try to solve it on your own. Why did God give me this situation? Receive the message at that moment and enjoy this blessing. Their amazing blessing in Christ Jesus. Among servants, there were those who were fugitives, who were enslaved, who were imprisoned, who went through many hardships, went through wars. But they all enjoyed the mission that God was with me in Christ Jesus every single day. And there were people who were able to pray to God in these situations. And they received many answers in that prayer, and they became the spiritual summit to save the age. In this age as well, in your business, in your studies, in your family, in your children, yes, you have all these problems right in front of you. But you will not fall down because of those problems. And you don't have to worry because of those problems. You shouldn't be oppressed and overwhelmed by those problems. You don't have to wander around inside those scars. Instead, you are the ones who are going to enjoy the amazing spiritual blessing God has given to you in Christ Jesus. And your chapter 3 has been completely finished. You have to believe in that and you have received all the blessings in Christ. And make that your springboard. And understand the gospel more, and receive more answers to prayer through those incidents. And enjoy more that God is with you through those incidents. And with this, may you become the witnesses that saves others. And Paul was that witness. A witness that saved others. A witness that saved all the churches. And so even in your mouth right now, it's been thousands of years since he was martyred, but we still talk about him and about his faith. Why? Because he enjoyed all the blessings in Christ Jesus. And he testified that, and he left behind a masterpiece through his letters. And we still talk about it. And no matter what situation you're in, it is the amazing strength of God, the power of God, that makes you overcome those problems. And Paul is still sharing his message to us. And the gospel is everlasting. It's the first service message. The message will be about this. And second service will be about the book of Thessalonians. And when we look at Paul's letters, then once again you restore mission and regain strength. And I believe that you'll receive answers to save the age. Let's pray. Let's pray together for 1 minute as all of you held on to the message. How did you receive this message today? And when will you praise God? And with this amazing mystery that you have received in Christ Jesus, may we restore the faith to praise God in any situation. And may we truly believe that Christ has finished all problems. And in Christ's face and problems may become the opportunity to save ourselves and save others and receive that evidence. And may we enjoy the blessing of our springboard. For 1 minute, let's pray quietly, holding on to God's word. Let's pray.